hear your will, and they would be blessed by it. Father, be with me, for I need you. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this morning, we're going to talk a little bit about America and what's going on in America. And you have to remember that I'm an old guy who can remember back to the 50s and the 60s and see things differently. So it makes it a little bit hard for me. But anyway, it's not about this. My text note is, or verse is from Proverbs 14:34, and it says, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a disgrace to any people. Now, I want to begin this morning with a disclaimer. I know a lawyer, and he says, you always have to have a disclaimer before you do anything so you can't get yelled at later. So I want to begin with a disclaimer. I am not a Democrat. I am not a Republican. I'm not a member of any political party in this nation or around the world, as far as I know. So I'm not a Democrat or Republican. I'm an American. I love the Lord, and I love this country. As we go to the Word this morning, I must warn you that I'm getting mean in my old age. I really have noticed it. I'm getting mean. I must warn you about that. I'm getting angry with people who want to change America to be what they think it should be. And I'm sick and tired of the thing they call political correctness. I'm sick and tired of people trying to discredit other people because they think differently or have different desires or different values than they do. I'm sick and tired of criminals who commit violent crimes going free because some city attorneys choose to change felonies into misdemeanors and they let them go. I'm really tired about the views of other people, and sometimes I'm sick of some people in classrooms of our nation. They're out there, they're trying to foist off their views on our young children by telling them that there's more than two genders, and it's okay to have your body surgically changed from what God intended to be into something else. I am really disgusted by the minority cabal in Washington doing their best to destroy this country, is the way I feel about it. I love this country. I fought for this country. I want to see people in the future generations in this country have the freedom and the chance to follow their own star as I was given the chance to follow my star in this country. I'm really sick and tired of some members of the greater Christian church in America who will not stand up and say to everybody out there, no matter who they are, you will not take away my religious freedom. I will not allow that. We need to do that before someone takes it away. We need to stand up and say it. Patrick Henry is credited with saying, give me liberty or give me death, in a speech to the Virginia Convention in 1775. And this swayed the delegates who were there to vote to commit troops to fight in the Revolutionary War. And that phrase roused our forefathers to fight for liberty. And unfortunately, the things I'm feeling, I'm wondering if we would defend our freedom to the death in this day and age, or we just say, well, it's okay, everybody has their own way, and I'll just move on, I'll move aside. I always thank God for this great country of ours. I believe it's clear that God brought America into existence for his own purposes. And there has never been a country like ours with so much freedom, and personal liberty to achieve the kind of goals that people always want to achieve. We're allowed to do that in America. We're free to believe what we choose to believe, work where we want to work, associate with whom we want to associate, live where we want to live, and spend our money the way we see fit. We're free to do those things. But of course, the most important freedom we have is the freedom of religion, which guarantees that we can worship God how, where, and when we feel it proper to worship him. Over the last 50 or more years, probably more than that, our religious freedoms have begun to be eroded. The government is making laws that bit by little bit take away some of our religious freedom, laws which the Constitution clearly prohibits. And the First Amendment to our Constitution says, Congress shall make no laws respecting an established religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or the right of the people to peacefully assemble and to petition the government for redress of grievances. The things I see occurring in our government, and this is just me, the things I see occurring in our government and across our nation give me reason to be worried about the future of our country. It seems to me that America's enemies have the upper hand at this time, which leads me to wonder, how can we survive? So today I want to take a look at what I believe is our greatest enemy and our greatest asset and our greatest opportunity. The greatest enemy, Isaiah 14:12. Oh, how you have fallen from heaven, O morning star, son of the dawn. You have been cast down to earth, you who once laid low the nations. Now, it says here, speaks to somebody here, calls him the morning star. He says, you who once laid low the nations. And what we see here is someone referred to this title has lost their high position, their position of power and authority. And once it was thought that this is all about Satan, but now we found out that it's not really about Satan. The truth is, it refers to the king of Assyria, who was conquered, conqueror of many nations to begin with, but then he was also conquered by the Babylonians. This person, who had once been so powerful, was now a prisoner with no authority whatsoever, none. Times change, and sometimes power and influence of nations changes as well. Times are changing in America. Just as the Assyrian Empire had enemies, one of whom was the Babylonian Empire, America today has really very formidable enemies. Russia, Iran, Afghanistan, Syria, China, North Korea, there are more. But there are people out there that are against us. Countries I just listed, they want to take away our place in this world, and they want to enslave us. ISIS wants to destroy us because America is still predominantly a Christian country. ISIS hates Christians, and therefore ISIS hates America. Just to say, we face danger from outside our country. We also face danger from inside our country. And I'm not just talking about Americans who have become radicalized or whatever and have attacked or attempted to attack us. We have that whole PC movement and the cancel culture and other things like that, which tries to destroy people who have different views by calling them names and therefore making what they have to say seem unimportant or wrong or not useful. I noticed that we had a deal on the news just the other day, if it was yesterday or the day before, where Antifa was fighting with some people that we would probably get along pretty well with. And then I thought about that name, Antifa. Anti-fascism. Wait a minute. Oh, y'all, pretty fascist, Antifa. But they try to make things unimportant. We have two political parties which seem to do little else than defame each other and do all they can to block any legislation the other party wants to pass, whether that legislation has any merit or not. If it's good or bad, it doesn't matter. They just want to cancel it. If the Democrats propose legislation, automatically the Republicans are against it. If the Republicans propose legislation, automatically the Democrats are against it. No one in our government seems to have any interest in solving the problems that beset us. And that's what we elected them to do, to help us, to fix our problems, to deal with these issues. It just seems to me that the Democrats and the Republicans spend all their time fighting with each other, while the problems that we have just keep going on and getting worse and getting worse. We have special interest groups who see anything beyond their area of endeavor or concern is having no value at all. Their message seems to be, I want you to fix this, what I want fixed, and I want you to ignore everybody else. At the same time, we're told that blacks hate whites and whites hate blacks. Hispanics hate anyone who has a different opinion about immigration than they do. Asians, they seem to have no one on their side at all. And the First Nation people want all of us to pick up, pack up, and go back to where we came from. The fact of the matter is, all of this hate and anger and fighting is playing right into the hands of America's real enemy. And America's real enemy is Satan. He has caused us to fight with each other. He has caused us to tear each other apart. He has led us to not have any concern for anybody else at all anymore, the concern we would have had in days gone by. He has taught us not to respect anyone as a person created in God's image, nor respect anyone's point of view if it differs from our point of view. And the end result is America's in trouble today. The truth we fail to see is Satan is winning and America is losing because we, the whole Church of Jesus Christ, not just this little congregation or the little EPC, the whole Church of Jesus Christ has forgotten that social justice is a Christian tradition and not a liberal agenda. When we forget we are to feed the hungry and clothe the naked and house the homeless and visit the sick and minister to the imprisoned, Satan wins and America loses. The Word of God teaches us to minister to male and female, young and old, slave and free, Jew and Gentile alike. What Satan does is try to convince us the Bible, the very holy Word of God, is not important. That it's not really God's Word, but rather just words from some old, outdated book, words which God did not intend us to understand and to live by, and they say, therefore, we have no reason to live by it. We should not be surprised by this, because discounting the importance of God and His Word is how Satan works all the time. We see this right from the beginning of time in Genesis 3:1-5. We have, now the serpent was more crafty than any of the other wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God really say, you must not eat from any tree in the garden? The woman said to the serpent, we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat fruit from the tree that's in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die. You will not surely die, the serpent said to the woman, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. The whole point here is our very first parents knew exactly what God had said, but they chose to believe what Satan was saying because that was the message their itching ears wanted to hear. Satan was the enemy back in the Garden of Eden. Satan is the enemy today. Satan is our enemy, our real enemy, not the people that we disagree with, not the other human beings. Now that's in this book too. In Ephesians 6:10-13, Paul wrote, finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God, so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the power of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done that, and everything you could to stand. Not about flesh and blood. It's not about people. It's about the evil one trying to get us to do what he would have us do. Satan is our enemy, not the rest of the people on this planet. Satan pits us against one another to control us and to lead us into sin. We can't believe Satan's lies. We must stand by God's word and live as his servants in this life. And if we cling to the Lord, Satan loses. We must not be fooled Satan is our real enemy. Well, let's talk about our asset. Well, what is our greatest asset in this country? I think the truth of the matter is America has been weakened by the sin of some Americans, the sin that some Americans have been wallowing in, I guess. Some of our fellow citizens for too long now have only been concerned about themselves, and that has given Satan power over us, because self-centeredness is not God's way. In Proverbs 14:34, we'll read it again, righteousness exalts the nation, but sin is a disgrace to any people. What that tells us is Satan is our way out of the mess we find ourselves in. To be strong again, we need to be dedicated to righteous living. In seminary, the preaching professor, Bill Hogan, was always asking me what the theme of my sermon was. Always asking. I would say a few things. Mr. Galbraith, what is your theme? I'd say a few more words. Mr. Galbraith, what is your theme? I learned that from Bill. So a theme in this sermon is righteousness is our way out of the mess we find ourselves in as a nation. Just simple righteousness. And this is not rocket science. This is just the truth. Where is righteousness found? Well, God's word tells us the way righteousness is found. And it says it finds it in one way that we can find righteousness in serving others or in putting the needs of others before our own needs. Feeding the hungry, clothing the naked, housing the homeless. That changes everything. We move from being self-centered to being God-centered when we do those types of things, and then we win and Satan loses. In Matthew 25, 34 through 40, we're told Jesus said, "Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world, for I was hungry and you gave me something to eat, I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink, I was a stranger and you invited me in, I needed clothes and you clothed me, I was sick and you looked after me, I was in prison and you came to visit me.' Then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?' And then the king will reply, 'I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me.'" When we do our best to live a righteous life, a life of trying hard to follow the ways of the Lord, the result is we end up with power and peace and prosperity as a nation. Deuteronomy 28, 1 through 14, we have God's word given to us through Moses. It came from God through Moses. Here we have, "If you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow all his commandments I give you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth. All these blessings will come upon you and accompany you if you obey the Lord your God. You will be blessed in the city and blessed in the country. The fruit of your womb will be blessed, the crops in your land, and the young of your livestock, the calves, the herds, the lambs, and flocks. Your basket and your kneading trough will be blessed. You will be blessed when you come in, blessed when you go out. The Lord will grant that enemies who rise up against you will be defeated before you. They will come at you in one way, but flee from you in seven. The Lord will send blessing on your barns and everything you put your hand to. The Lord will bless you in a land he is giving you. The Lord will establish you as his holy people, as he promised you on oath, if you keep the commands of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. Then all the people on earth will see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they will fear you. The Lord will grant you abundant prosperity in the fruit of your womb and the young of your flock and the crops of your ground in the land he swore before your forefathers to give you. The Lord will open heavens, the storehouse of his bounty, to send rain on your land in season and to bless all the work of your hands. You will lend to many nations, but borrow from none. The Lord will make you the head, not the tail. If you pay attention to the commands of the Lord, your God will give you this day. Carefully follow them, and you will always be at the top and never at the bottom. Do not turn aside from any of the commands I give you today, to the right or to the left, following other gods and serving them. See, righteous living leads to blessing. And righteous living is pretty simple. We find it right in the Bible. God just tells us what it is. Just to read the Bible, we know. Righteous living leads to blessing. When we, the Church of Jesus Christ in America, get back to righteous living, then the whole land will be blessed. God's blessing will fall on the righteous and the unrighteous alike. It's happening right now. The fact of the matter is, we who have accepted salvation in Jesus Christ are God's elect. We are God's people, and because we are God's people, we will be blessed, and that blessing will be felt by those around us who have not yet accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord. There are certain benefits that come to us because we are the elect of God. And in Matthew 24, verses 21 and 22, "For then there will be a great distress, unequaled from the beginning of the world until now, and never to be equaled again. If those days had not been cut short, no one would survive, but for the sake of those elect, those days will be shortened." In the end times, there's going to be a lot of pain and suffering. We don't want to make any mistake about that. We're not going to downplay that at all. We who are left and belong to Jesus Christ will be involved in that suffering. That's going to wash over on us. But for our sake, the length of time that people will suffer will be shortened. And that shortening will be a blessing not just to us, but to the people around us. And what will that blessing show the people around us? Our God can't. Your God can't. I'm not being immodest when I say that America will be blessed because of our righteousness, because we belong to the Lord, because it is obvious that America's greatest asset is us, the people of God, the remnant that is still here amid the sin and the greed and the licentiousness which is all around us. We, in point of fact, are really the only hope that America has. Well, what's our greatest opportunity? In Revelation 5:9, "And they sang a new song, 'You are worthy to take the scroll and open its seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased men for God from every tribe and language and people and nation.'" In this sin, in this scene from heaven, we see we have a great opportunity to serve the Lord here. Men and women from every tribe, language, people, and nation will be present in heaven singing the Lord's praises. That means men and women from our nation can be present in heaven for eternity singing the Lord's praises. We have a great opportunity at this time in our nation's life to share the gospel and the invitation that comes from God to join the Lord in heaven. As we see in really every election cycle, our countrymen are looking for change. I think that's pretty obvious from the stuff I see on the TV. Our countrymen are looking for a change. Now, some are embracing right-leaning conservative candidates. Some are not. But they are making these changes because doing so helps these people who are so tired of the status quo, which in this case means nothing gets done. They are sick of that. They don't want to see that anymore. They want that to go away. Americans want to change. Americans want a better life. They want problems solved. They're tired of the constant fighting among the politicians. They're tired of the name-calling and the mean-spiritedness, which is so rampant in Washington, D.C. They are tired of broken promises and people just lining their own pockets instead of doing the job they're elected to do. We have just the change that America needs. We have the change that all these people are looking for, even if they don't know that that's the change they need. We represent the Lord, and we have the good news our fellow citizens are looking for. We have the change they need. If we return to the Lord, as we have seen in Scripture today, blessing instead of more pain and suffering can be ours. If we return to the Lord, then we will have the power of God on our side. If we return to the Lord, things will be great. Things will change. And we will be able to get back to where we may want, I want to be anyway. If we unite as Christians, then the politicians will have to pay attention to us and work towards our agenda. That is, if they want to be reelected. As far as I can see, righteousness is the only way out of the mess we find ourselves in our beloved country. Being righteous cannot be achieved through some kind of a presidential executive order. We cannot force people to be righteous. People must choose righteousness. To convince others to choose righteousness, we must show them what righteousness looks like by doing our best every day to live as closely as we can to the way we understand that God wants us to live. We have to be the examples. We must show the rest of the country what righteousness is by how we live, by what we do, by what we say. We cannot be mean, nasty, ugly, and hateful and expect someone to embrace Christ. Why would they want that? We need to share the gospel by making it plain and personal and precious to them. We need to share the love of Christ and let them know, as the children of God, by the power of God, we can bring the country back to being what it was created to be, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Being righteous is not being so heavenly minded that we're no earthly good. Being righteous is living as we feel God wants us to live, and doing so, only so, God receives the honor and the glory he so richly deserves. How can we do all that needs to be done to overcome the mess we find ourselves in as a nation? Well, Pastor Steve has been telling us that over the past several weeks. We can do great things if we keep our eyes on the right things. And the right things are the five solas of the Christian Reformation. See, as Christians, it's the Bible alone that is the highest authority in our lives. The Bible tells us we've been saved by faith alone in Christ alone, who is a gracious gift from God alone, which makes Jesus Christ alone our Lord, Savior, and King. And all this has happened to bring glory and honor to God alone. It's that simple. This is not hard. It's not something we can't understand or something we can't get with. It's not something we can't get into. It's simple. So I think that's our mission, to be completed through the church. And to complete our mission, we need to get back to the basics, which is to choose a life of righteousness for ourselves, and then to live that life openly before the world around us, so they can see this is not a scam, it's not a game, it's not somebody trying to get someone in a church to put money in a plate. We're living this way because this is how it works. This is the way we do what needs to be done. This is how we guarantee our religious freedom so that we can worship God how, where, and when we think we should, and not have somebody else telling us what to do. To complete our mission, we need to get back to the basics. And we need to do it openly before the world so they can see the way home. To God be the glory. Great things he has done. He gave us a Savior in Jesus, his Son. Let that be our theme verse. And then let's just see what God can do with us in this messed up world when we do the things he would have us do and live the way he has created us to live. And when we do that so that we really glorify the Lord God we love so much. God be the glory. Amen. gracious